Hey everybody,
this is Y'all Heard,
a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
and we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world, from
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes, from things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know.
Marissa, I meant to tell you, do you know if it's Farmer Wants a Wife or Farmer the reality show?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it actually is still existing. I don't know why I said it that way.
I don't know, but why did you bring that up?
It's Farmer Wants a Wife.
Okay.
For those uninitiated, is it an American reality television series based on the British show of the same name? What? In which a bachelor farmer chooses a potential romantic partner among a group of 10 single city women.
Why would a city woman want to... No. I mean, I didn't mean that in a judgy way.
No, it's not.
Is it like flip... Like, do these women want to live in the country?
No. I think it's trying to, like, introduce folly. But I don't think that it's that.
Like, now it's not city women?
I don't think they'd bring the city women angle into it, yeah. Because the reason that I wanted to talk about it with you is because, first, it sounds like a shit show, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think I was tempted to watch it, and then I didn't.
So it started in 2023. It's season 2, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
They have 4 bachelors.
Okay.
A contestant who's on the show is a friend of a friend of the family.
Of you?
Yeah.
Oh,
actually,
wow.
The daughter of a friend of the... Wait, the granddaughter of a friend of the family.
Okay, got it.
And
that's,
I think she's...
far removed.
It says the first guy is a potato and barley farmer. Okay. The third guy is a citrus and cattle farmer. Okay. The second guy is just first generation farmer.
Okay.
But anyway, what I thought was interesting is if you look up this person, and I'd love to tell you what her name is, but I don't know what it is. It says that she works construction. And if you Google her outside of the realm of Farmer Wants a Wife, she's listed as a model. But in both cases, she lives in, like, backwoods New Jersey.
Okay, interesting.
And her dad does some construction, and she helps him. I don't think that she can list construction worker as her job.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is she like not really a construction worker, or is she not really a model?
Part of me wonders if she ever had a job.
How do you know the extent to which she construction helps?
Oh, I'm sorry. The other thing is, my mom goes, I don't know what her boyfriend thinks about that. And I'm like, what?
Wait. So she's on the show and she has a boyfriend.
She apparently did have one when she started.
Okay, great.
I don't know the situation now.
They don't vet these people well.
No.
Wow, I like that. That's some hot goss right there.
But I could watch this show if I wanted to now, because I have cable again.
Ooh, nice.
It took a whole lot of work to get cable again, but I got it.
Good for you. Why did you want cable again?
You know, so far with TV, I've watched only 3 things.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, because mm-hmm. it's the playoffs and they don't play them on the NBA app anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Family Feud.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Lifetime original movies.
Okay. That's cool.
They're beautiful. I love them so much. And sometimes they have a Lifetime original movie that's about the daughter, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the daughter. Could we please focus on the mom more?
Okay. Yeah.
So,
the daughter's too young for your interests.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you have some crazy high school boyfriend. Who gives a shit? Let's cut to your mom, who you're not calling when you're staying out too late.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a valid reason to want cable back. I like having real TV, though I use it maybe once every 3 months, but I just like knowing it's there. It's comforting.
Yeah.
And also I was forced to watch college women's basketball. So
yeah. Did you see the draft?
No.
The WNBA draft.
Did it happen already? Did Caitlin, whatever, everyone, boulder yep. time, girl, yep. get...
She's heading to the Fever. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm a little nervous about it.
Why?
Because I like the Fever, I like players on the team, and I'm worried who's gonna get cut, because this phenom has arrived.
Well, I think you didn't watch... So you didn't watch the girls' basketball final games, right? The playoffs?
No.
Oh, she did really bad. Like... Aaron was like, oh, this girl, she's like a big deal. And she just like sucked. So,
she, who knows? She looked very nonplussed at the draft. Like cameras were in front of her. This is a weird thing. Cameras were in front of her, pointing at her, and then up on the, like, on some platform somewhere, there's people talking about her, like, for TV, but it's getting pumped through the house. And she's like not reacting at all.
That's interesting.
And the one person who was talking is like, and look at her, she's sitting there like she doesn't know we're talking about her right now.
That is really weird. You know what's interesting, because I mean, I was like, why is she a big deal? And like, apparently she had all these three-pointers, whatever, that's cool. But like, when they hype someone up this much, I feel like it never ends well. Like the same thing with Simone Biles, how she just like did kind of bad after like being touted as like the world's greatest athlete. And then like this girl, again, I'm sure she did great all season, but in the last two games I was like, huh? She choking.
Yeah, I feel like you kinda have to go in there with like, you know, reasonable expectations.
Yeah, so that's how you are, huh?
Good luck to Caitlin Clark, everybody.
Sure. So that's how you are?
That's how I am.
I am fine. I'm going to keep it simple. I will say, I recently fired my therapist, and she pushed back, and that was unpleasant. And going forward, I will ghost every therapist. And I'm too much of a baby to have said the real reason why I fired her, which I'll tell all of you. It's because at the beginning... I don't even remember what she said. It was virtual therapy, but you're supposed to like see each other. And she was like, "Oh, I hope you don't mind. I'm sorry. I do therapy on my desktop. But the camera doesn't work all the time, so I just keep the camera off." And I was just like, "All right, sure." And then from that day forward, I would periodically hear her washing the dishes, microwaving her dinner, hearing her voice sound way further away, all sorts of things. So she was clearly multitasking like hardcore. So yeah, fired her, and she didn't like it. She was passive aggressive, and have I recovered yet? I don't know. It takes me a long time to recover from conflict. So yep. So that's how I am. Let's move on.
Listener mail. We have a call from Alex now. Alex leaves voicemails, and I have to admit, which he knows, we don't end up getting to play them all on the show. This time, I thought this was a fun one. It's related to grammar and spelling, and okay. So I thought it would be fun to share with you, Marissa.
Cool.
And Alex, I'll try to get the other one on, but man, shit's just busy.
I get it.
And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how busy can it be? All you need to do is play my voicemail. And that's true, but I like to try to take some ums out and stuff so you sound good.
Got it.
Anyway, here you go, Marissa.
Hi, this is Alex. On a recent episode of Y'all Heard, Pete was describing how he had gotten an email from marketing that used the word high school but spelled as one word.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do.
Good, good.
It is definitely a two-word compound word where you have to put a space between the two words. You're fine, Pete. And if I were in your shoes, I would have also really struggled to not email marketing and correct them. Pete and I used to work at the same place, and I no longer do. But yeah, that's that kind of thing, which all the time, a lot of typos. So this reminds me of how security would send out an email every time that something materialized at the lost and found, or any time that anybody was asking for a lost object. And so you would get an email from security saying, like, you know, somebody is looking for their keys. If you find the keys, please turn them into security. And you would spell it as into one word, not I-N space T-O. And so it's like please transmute the keys into a sense of security, something like that. At any rate, this particular director of security was so prolific with kind of humorous typos that I know two faculty members who had, like, started in the same year and became buddies, and they would just, like, whenever they saw one of these emails, forward it to the other one, and I think maybe with no commentary, just that, like, they knew what the joke would be, and they would enjoy getting these little postcards from each other about, like, look at the latest thing from security. Please turn it into security. All right, well, have a great day. Pete, I miss working with you. I would say that's one of the main... You were just, like, a really good guy to work with. I was always able to rely on you to solve difficult problems. Thanks for that. All right, have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Alex.
You too, Alex.
That was fun.
Quite unfortunately, they have this phrase out there, the curse of competency, and that's what I suffer from at work. When you know what you're doing, people ask you to do stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I'm not like resentful about it. It's just like, man, there's a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, that made me laugh. It also reminds me of, this is a low-key plug, the book by Lynn Truss called Eat, Shoots, and Leaves, where if you omit spaces or punctuation, the meaning changes entirely. So you could either say a panda eats, shoots, and leaves, or a panda eats, it shoots someone, and then it leaves an area. So yeah, just the way turn it in to security or transform it into security. I like that. Thank you, Alex.
I don't know if you heard that whole one, because I did the same thing as you. I laughed when he said the into part, but he said transmute?
I heard
transmute it into a sense into a sense of security.
Okay, yeah, I missed that part. I just turned it into like the security department, but I like the way he said it. Even transmute, yeah. Anyway, yeah, thanks, Alex, as always.
This week, I'm talking about something health-related, and so we're going to go into an icebreaker with the best thing I could find when I Googled. Actually, I'm doing a presentation on ChatGPT and generative AI, so I've been trying to use it more, and I asked it, what would be some icebreakers for doctors?
Okay.
And one of them is... If you could have any superpower related to medicine, what would it be?
Yeah, okay. I would, the way Gambit can take hold of an object and charge it into, like, how would you describe Gambit's power?
They always say that he fills things with kinetic energy.
Okay. I would like to be able to... turn to like channel my anxiety and turn into kinetic energy
to blow things up.
Yeah, with anxiety, but I wouldn't do it in a terroristic way. I wouldn't just blow up buildings, but I just want that ability for self-defense.
I think I'll stick with the X-Men too. Then I would want Kitty Pryde's, like, going through walls type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, in the X-Men storylines, a bunch of X-Men were killed, and then this company was killing just mutants left and right, and she, like, turned into some badass. And one of her... this isn't what I would do with it, but one of her things was she would reach into a person and then materialize... Like, she would be transparent, reach into a person, and then materialize, and it would put a hole through that person.
Oh, okay.
So, but I like that. I like that idea where, like, maybe I could, you know, like, take my invisibility. Like, it's not invisibility, but...
Do you want to be able to go into a person and take out their ailments?
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, cool.
Speaking of ailments,
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt. it's not the same, because it's not like Kitty Pryde's, like, you're, like, dematerializing and going inside of something. But have you ever seen the show The Boys?
Yes.
Do you watch it often?
I don't know if I watched the last season. I don't know where I'm at with it.
I don't care if this is a spoiler, because I don't even think I have the detail right. But I was just reading about an episode. Did you ever see the episode where there's, like, the orgy or something?
Yeah, I remember vaguely.
Didn't someone who, like, has the power of Ant-Man to become small and then big, like, become small and then, like, go into someone's penis and then sneeze and then they became big and then they blew up the person from the inside?
Yes, now that you describe that.
I think about that a lot, and it makes me upset. I've never seen it, but I just think about that a lot. Like, a lot. So, let's move on.
Be safe out there, guys. A while back, you might recall, I may have mentioned it on the show, I don't know. I had to get a new license and a new license photo. So I was at the DMV, and I'm facing the screen where they ask if you want to be an organ donor. And the woman said, you could take your time, but I didn't need to take my time. I just hit yes.
I did the same, but I just hit no.
Now, I don't want to put anybody on blast, Marissa, but could you tell us your family's views about organ donation?
My mother said, don't ever be an organ donor, then they won't try as hard to save you if you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they want your organ.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that. I won't defend. Or I'll just leave it at that.
But it did affect you enough.
I will not.
It affected your decision. Yes.
Yep. It's just a known fact that I will never say yes.
According to a 2008 study, the most common reasons cited for not wanting to donate organs were mistrust of doctors, hospitals, etc., a belief in a black market for organs in the United States, and deservingness issues. That one's organs would go to someone who brought on their own illness or could be a bad person.
Okay, that's interesting. So I don't think about the black market thing. But I never thought, like, oh, I don't want to donate my organs because the person who gets them might not be deserving. But it was my understanding from my mother's logic that, like, maybe someone who the hospital deems more deserving than me, that's why they'll let me die, so they could use my organ for the person more deserving. So right. I understand the no deserving argument, but in a different direction.
In this same study, one of the surprising findings was that religion is offered more often as a rationale for wanting to help sick people through organ donation than it was for not wanting to donate organs. Because in some religions, if you're not burying the whole person, it's not the whole person.
Oh, really?
So, each April is National Donate Life Month. And this topic is, of course, very urban legendy. Now, you heard this from your mom. Have you heard it from anybody else in your life?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I've heard other people say what you said. And I think that you've probably heard this story, which they sort of speculate at it's LiveScience or LiveScience.com. The original urban legend likely stems from a 1989 high-profile case of organ selling in which a Turkish man named, I don't know if I'm saying this right, we're just going to move past it, Marissa.
Okay.
Ahmet Kock claimed that 3 months earlier, he had been brought to London, England, with the promise of a job. When he went in for a medical check, he was given an injection, which he believed was to be a blood test. They suck things out with a blood test. They don't inject things for a blood test.
Yeah.
But he woke up the next day to find that a kidney had been removed.
Ooh, okay.
He was told not to be upset because he would be well paid for his loss.
Okay.
It was later revealed that he was lying.
He wasn't paid or that the guy's kidney wasn't removed?
He was not the victim of organ theft. In fact, he was one of four Turks who voluntarily sold their kidneys that day in September of 1989. He was apparently unhappy with the amount that was paid to him.
Oh.
And he went to the press with this salacious story.
That's funny.
In terms of real instances, there are two that Wikipedia alludes to that I'm willing to discuss on this show.
What do you mean? Why do you say it like that?
Because there are some countries that are at war right now.
Oh.
And it's very divisive to speak of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Plus, in some cases, it perpetuates weird stereotypes.
Yeah. Good call.
There are two Eastern countries with alleged ties, and that is India and China.
Mm-hmm.
China has harvested death row inmates' organs.
Oh.
But they have stopped this as of 2014. I don't know if I have it in here, but the interesting thing is you'd have to wait like a week or two to get a new organ in China. But in America, you have to wait. You could end up waiting years.
Yeah.
India also hosted one multi-billion rupee kidney scandal, which came to light in January 2008 when police arrested several people for running a kidney transplant racket outside of New Delhi. Most recipients, not donors, were from the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Saudi Arabia, and Greece.
But why was it a racket? The people didn't know, or I don't understand.
Oh, India's is sad. I think I didn't go into detail on that, because in the Indian one, it's kind of like, these people are poor. They have no way of making money. This is how they try to make some money. And you're basically like, yeah, you're sort of preying on the weak. And
yeah. Oh, that's sad. Okay.
So, Marissa, to keep speaking of your situation or your belief or your, again, not necessarily belief, but your mother's stance on it, let's say, the University of Florida Health says, registered or not, becoming an organ donor is very rare. Less than 1% of people who die in a hospital setting are even eligible to be organ donors, since a donor needs to be on a ventilator and die from brain death or circulatory death.
Oh, okay.
Brain death must be declared by a physician. According to the American Academy of Neurology, and this is, I don't know that every place has the same definition of brain death, which is troubling.
It is
defined as the irreversible loss of brain function, including the brain stem. Specific and multiple tests are used to determine brain death, and they fall under certain guidelines. And you're supposed to do it multiple times as well. It's not like we just run one test on you and we go, okay, she's dead. The second one is a circulatory death, which sounds weirder. I guess none of them sound weird, right? Like, it all happens. A patient may have non-survivable injury or a severe injury that would affect the person's quality of life. Mm-hmm. At this point, a family can elect to withdraw the ventilator, and then only after the ventilator is withdrawn, the patient must die within a certain time frame per hospital policy and is then declared dead by a physician via circulatory death, and then you can take the organs.
I wonder what the period of time is.
Yeah. Because I'm sure, you know, at least cursory, that's not a word. I'm sure that you've heard before, like, somebody who goes, oh, and then they came off the ventilator and they were better. Like, they started breathing on their own immediately or something like that.
No, but go on.
Okay. Now, the thing is, if you end up in the hospital, like, let's say you had a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And they take you to the hospital. A trauma doctor doesn't know if you're an organ donor.
Okay.
And if they happen to reach into your pocket and take out your license or something, it's still not 100% clear that you're a donor, even if your license says so.
Okay.
Because I could call somebody today and take myself off the list, but my license still says that I'm a donor. So it's not like they just look at one card and go, boom, this one's good.
Yeah, okay.
Conversely, some people sign up at places outside of the DMV. A trauma doctor's job is to stabilize a patient, not solve all of their problems immediately.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, your medical records are also not readily available in an emergency, and so they're not able to, like, look at your medical history and go, oh, that looks like a perfect kidney.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't expect any of this to change your mind. Just so we're clear.
I don't even know if I believe it. It's just, sometimes you just raise a certain way. My mother raised me to never go to a chiropractor and not be an organ donor.
Man, you learned so much from a chiropractor. U.S. attorneys in various parts of the country are investigating organ procurement organizations in at least 5 states. They are seeking to determine whether any of these groups have been overbilling the government for their costs.
Okay.
Dump, dump, dump.
Okay.
This is from the Washington Post. The nation's 56, there's only 56, organ procurement organizations collect organs, mainly kidneys, from deceased donors at hospitals and arrange for them to be transported to surgeons at one of the 250 U.S. medical centers that perform transplants. Each procurement group, so again, it's not like they go, oh, Marissa's got a nice eye, let's pull that out and give it to the guy upstairs. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
Each procurement group holds a government-guaranteed monopoly over a swath of U.S. territory where it operates.
Okay.
And usually, like, we don't like monopolies, but here, I don't know if I would really want competition.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there.
Anyway, it's a big mess of who pays what and who reimburses who, so it's very easy to, quote-unquote, accidentally file some extra paperwork or withhold some paperwork so that you can make more money.
Yeah.
This is because organ donation is not really highly regulated. But they say it is.
Okay.
Organ and tissue. Now, this one's from the New York Post, everybody. So
okay.
Take it with a grain of salt, but it is true. Organ donation and tissue donations are, quote unquote, heavily regulated by the federal government. But that oversight isn't extended to whole bodies. Federal prosecutors allege that Cedric Lodge, age 55, stole body parts, including heads and brains, that were donated for research at the Harvard Medical School.
Oh, I know about this. Yeah.
And intended for eventual cremation.
Yeah.
Lodge, who previously managed Harvard's anatomical gift program, and his wife, Denise, allegedly sold them to online buyers from 2018 to 2022.
So fucked up.
Federal prosecutors said the egregious sprawling conspiracy also involved an Arkansas mortuary employee who sold body parts on Facebook for nearly $11,000 and a Massachusetts store owner who bought a human skull to create a killer clown style doll that she later shared with everybody on Instagram.
One, that's gross. Two, I don't think you should be able to sell body parts on Facebook. That's just me.
Yeah. Do you think you should be able to sell body parts at all? Should you be able to go into a store and buy, like, a leg? Okay,
well, no,
that pauses enough.
No, but you have to sell body parts for research purposes, don't you?
No. You donate them.
Oh, I guess you're right. No, but... let's say you donate... Yeah,
if you die and you donate your body to science, yeah, it could end up in any number of places. But no one is going to pay for the body. I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, there is some, like, compensation, whether it be, you know, like a subscription or something like that. But it's going to go to a medical facility.
No, I know it's going to go to a medical facility, but, like, universities have body parts. You think they don't also pay? I don't know. I'm not sure how that goes. Just continue.
The closest I got to this stuff, the more I wanted to sort of veer off. But someone as local as Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, has participated in this.
Okay.
I thought this was a nice summary of the particular article. While there are regulations that govern how the body of an individual may be donated, once a body is donated for research or medical training, there is little federal or state regulation over what happens to it. That is what officials told the Post. Quote, few rules mean few consequences when bodies are mistreated, and that exacerbates trauma experienced by grieving families.
Yeah, that's fucking disgusting. I don't know. I'm not going to go too in-depth because I don't remember the details, but I think it was last podcast on the left was talking about misuse remains, and I think someone who donated their body to science, they ended up like being used to test weapons, and like their body parts were like something like their bases of body parts ended up being like blown up into sort of army testing, and that is definitely not what the family signed up for.
Yeah, I guess you have to be specific about which science you want to donate it to. Not military science, I guess.
I think actually that they had said they didn't want military, but somehow it ended up going to the military anyway. That's really fucked up.
I mean, I don't know. People are dead, they all look the same anyway, so.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want military blowing me up.
Yeah.
So you know.
There was also this organization called Shout Out UK, and they tried to inform young voters about issues. And they actually had a piece of their website that talked about this, but it was mostly related to humanitarian efforts, just so there's context for that.
Yeah.
Basically, they're exploring the idea of doing what's best for the greater good. If I'm dying and I have 6 great organs, if I have 6 great organs, then me dying would help 6 other people.
Yeah.
And so it would be for the greater good that I die.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Obviously, when applied unethically in the illegal practice of non-voluntary organ harvesting of convicts in China, only 0.6 people, now I realize that sounds stupid, but 0.6% of people out of every 1 million citizens donates organs. I did have this in here. Despite this, the waiting time for a transplant in China takes mere weeks rather than months or even years compared to Western countries.
That's crazy.
In 2014, China promised to terminate the practice of harvesting prisoners' organs. Today, the Chinese government is suspected of continuing to carry out large-scale organ harvesting of death row prisoners and prisoners of conscience. Prisoners of conscience would basically be a political prisoner.
Okay, great.
In fact, the World Health Organization has since published reports which suggest that the illegal transaction of organs occurs on an hourly basis in China.
Oh, nice.
Crazy.
Yeah, that really is.
Now, at face value, the voluntary sale of organs seems to resolve two problems, the need for organs and the need for money.
Yeah.
But it is, of course, in the poorest parts of the world. And it is a very lucrative business because, again, you're taking advantage of poor people and selling them essentially – you're essentially giving them peanuts for, you know, a body part.
I mean, how many organs can you sell when you're still alive?
Oh, legally none.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
So I don't understand. So they're doing it illegally or they're like promising their organ when they die? I don't understand.
So the traditional way that this would go is if you wanted my kidney, you could say, hey, Pete, I stole some of your DNA and I realized that we are a perfect match.
Yeah.
And I need a kidney. Give me a kidney.
Yeah.
And I can donate my kidney to you. You cannot pay me for that kidney.
Yeah.
But of course, if you gave me a stack of cash after, you know.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be a contract that promised me that you're actually going to pay me. So the other way would be you could have me killed. And then as I lay dying, you could take my kidney.
Yeah, that is an option, yeah.
But I cannot say to you, hey, you, just for example's sake, you posted your genetic profile on Facebook and it matches mine. I could sell you a kidney for $20,000.
Wait, but if you kill them, how, then you go to the doctor who go, oh, I just found this kidney, put it in me? Like,
No. You don't cut it out and take it with you. It would be like I would have to die in a hospital, again, by brain death or circulatory. Okay. Yeah. Okay. If you sell the kidney, for instance, you could get as much as 7,000 euros, but in
That's
Iran...
It?
I know, right?
That's not much at all.
And I'm looking really quick. Yeah, there was a woman who was like, so I can either starve or I can sell my kidney and pay a month's rent and get some food. It's a clear choice.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
In Iran, for example, 26 million people live in poverty. Consequently, the buying and selling organs for transplant is legal there because mm-hmm. you got a lot of poor people who got a lot of organs.
Yeah.
Do you think this is all kind of crazy in that if you are a political prisoner, you are like a scumbag shithead, but your organs are good enough for us?
Yep. Yeah.
And you're a poor person who doesn't deserve any humanity or money or roof over your head. But when it comes to your body parts, we're willing to buy them off of you.
What if I was like, no, that's just no.
The most troubling cases are when vulnerable people may be trafficked and exploited by gangs who force individuals to undergo dangerous procedures in unsanitary conditions while they keep most of the profits. Examining the demographic of organ donors reveals more problems. Most organ donors work in low-paid jobs and are often illiterate. This is not in America, by the way.
Okay, I was going to say, okay.
The main reason for donation is often the desperate need for money rather than altruism. Which would be me giving you your kidney because I think you deserve a kidney.
Yeah.
In some cases, organ sale perpetuates the cycle of poverty when unsafe procedures lead to health problems that limit a person's capacity to continue to work and make money for themselves.
Okay.
Most disturbingly, children and young adults are pressured into selling their healthy organs without proper consideration of their welfare. And since they're young, they are unaware of the implications of having a transplant and exactly what that involves for their future.
Yeah.
The University of Chicago Medicine threw out some myths and some facts. So I'm going to spit some facts at you.
Okay.
If I'm in a coma, they could take my organs. That's a myth. Healthcare providers will not take your organs if you're in a coma. You could still recover from a coma, and you're not declared deceased unless you are brain dead.
Got it. Yeah, I didn't think that.
Myth. I won't be able to have an open casket funeral after I donate my organs.
I mean, no, they could just stitch you back up.
Yeah. I could see, like, a child believing this. It's like, oh, if you take out all my insides, I'm just going to be like a deflated balloon.
But also, like, why are you so fixated on having an open casket funeral, bro?
Yeah. I think they could put fake eyes in you too if you.
Yeah, anyway. I think they can do all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
You can still have an open casket funeral after donating organs. Every donor's body is treated with respect before and after donating and returned in a presentable state. Even those who donate their eyes are able to have an open casket service.
But again, like, why do you want to open casket funeral service so bad?
Yeah.
Because
I'm dead.
Sure
you don't need to see me anymore.
I'm sure the people looking at you, if you get, like, weird things done, they don't want to see that.
I don't like going to open casket funerals because of that.
I've only been to one, and I was like, that doesn't look like the person. Yeah. I don't ever want to see this again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I bet you believe in this one. The rich and famous get my organs first.
Yep, that's what my mom made me think.
Financial status and popularity are not considered when someone receives an organ. It may seem as if the rich and famous always receive an organ because they garner more attention. Thus, we hear more about them. According to the Health and Human Services Administration, 39,718 people received an organ transplant in the year of 2019, and very few of them were famous.
I disagree. If Jeff Bezos needed a kidney and I was dying, can you have a kidney?
If Jeff Bezos needed a kidney and you had a matching kidney, you would give it to him and he would give you like a billion Amazon bucks or something. Again, it's not legal, but he could do that afterwards.
Yeah, I would do that. I would let him have it.
Even if I designate a recipient, my organ might go to someone else. That's also considered a myth.
I didn't even know you could designate a recipient unless... Wait, no, I'm sorry. I knew you could designate a recipient when you're alive, when you're... But, wait. No, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. No, I knew you... Okay, I knew that. I guess.
It is illegal to give donated organs to someone other than a designated recipient. The practice of designating a donor recipient is legally authorized by federal law. However, we all trust federal law.
Wait. But when you are like, this is who I want to be the recipient, they have to need it at that moment, right? You can't just be like, well, if Sally ever needs my kidney, this is her, so don't.
Yeah, they don't keep it on ice or anything. Like if you were getting dialysis because you had bad kidneys and I knew that I was dying and I wanted to, I don't know if this is possible, but if I was like, take me off the ventilator and just let me die, and when you do, make sure you give my kidney to Marissa, that would kind of be along that.
Yeah, got it, okay.
However, if your organ is not compatible with your designated recipient, the recipient may opt for a paired exchange to identify a compatible organ.
Okay. So they're going to barter with your organ.
Yeah.
Okay.
In 2020, despite 95% of adults supporting organ donation, do you support organ donation?
Sure.
Only 58% are actually registered donors. So there's a lot of people like you, Marissa.
Okay.
Not like you. You are one of a kind, but you know what I mean.
Got that right.
All right, so let me go back a second. Okay. The rich and famous get organs first. You said you believe this.
Yes.
There may be reason to.
Okay.
Did you know that a person has to have at least 20% of the cost of the organ to get on the list? Now, I don't know exactly what that means. I don't think they put a price on a kidney. I think it's 20% of the cost of the whole procedure.
But don't, like, out of pocket? Or you just mean your insurance?
Yes.
Wait, but...
Potentially your insurance and other sources could cover the rest.
So if you can't,
you have a 20% deductible.
But I thought, like, they couldn't turn you away if you needed something.
I don't know how that would work.
Because, yeah, when you, like, they have to accept you at a hospital if you have an emergency. So that's interesting. I don't like that.
Well, if you're missing... I don't know how you would define an emergency. If you lost a kidney, you can still live your life because you got another one.
Yeah. But what if both your kidneys were failing? That's an emergency.
But is it? It's not like a dire emergency.
But you're going to die if both your kidneys fail.
And I didn't really... listen, apparently most of the transplants are just kidneys, so I didn't really look into other things.
Okay.
But, like, if you need a lung transplant or something, let's go with heart instead.
Yeah.
See, I could see that. You have some sort of mechanism that is helping to keep you alive right now.
Yeah.
But if you could get a heart, that'd be better.
So,
like,
I guess...
Like Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Hospitals are paid by organ procurement organizations to use their facilities. That could also go on the pro-con or pro side for your mom. Hospitals are paid, in effect, for organ procurement.
Okay.
But,
interesting.
Realistically, they can make a lot more money off of you by saving you and charging you for all the stuff that it took to save you.
Yeah, that's actually true, too. Yeah.
about 15,000 deceased donors donated in 2022. Mm-hmm. Deceased donors would be, again, brain dead or circulatory dead. 6,500 were living donors in 2022.
Okay.
The last thing I wanted to talk about was death by donation.
Ooh, what? Don't like it.
This is when you end a person's life with their informed consent by taking them to an operating room and under general anesthesia, opening their chest and abdomen surgically while they are alive to remove vital organs for transplantation into other people.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So basically, you're saying, I'm done, nothing's going to help, but if I could help other people with my organs, then put me under, chop me up, and then burn the rest.
Got it, got it. All right, I mean, that's nice.
So that's a thing that exists as well.
Mm. But you have to be, like, on death's door, right? You can't just suicide by donation?
As far as I know, yeah, I don't think you can go into, because of the Hippocratic Oath and all that shit, I don't think you can just go into a hospital and be like, all right, I'm done. I'm tired. Please kill me.
yeah, okay.
So what do you think, Marissa? I know you. I'm not here to change your mind. But
good, because I'm still not going to be an organ donor.
As I was sitting in the DMV, I was like, I wonder what the conspiracy theory is related to organ donation.
Got it.
And it's not really an organized theory. It's just people who believe what your mom said.
Yeah, guys.
And your mom is at the top of the whole thing.
If you guys are like, that's ignorant of you to not be one. You know, sometimes you're just raised in a way and it's hard to break out of the thinking. And I've been told many times by my mother to never put, I'm an organ donor.
Yeah.
So it's just hard to get out of that. So.
And I don't think that it's irrational to hold that belief because there are a lot of untrustworthy people out there.
Yeah,
there was a man, surprisingly in Texas, whose son was on a ventilator. I believe it was a ventilator. And they were going to unplug him. And then he was an organ donor, so they were going to take his organs. And the father came in with a gun.
What?
And prevented them from taking, taking the plug out. Police were called. The policeman is like, I totally get where you're coming from, bro. If this were my kid, I would do the same thing.
Wow.
So he's arrested, charged, etc. But in the meantime, his son is still on the ventilator. A couple of years go by, and the son starts breathing on his own, and he's alive. And so there is something to be said for holding out hope or not believing that somebody, you know, is 100% gone. But it's not like that's happening every other week. So statistically, I don't know that that's really in your favor.
That's kind of crazy. Also, I will just note that...
But also, it justified the father for his ill behavior. So.
Yeah, no, totally. I would just like to note that my husband works at a hospital, and the amount of people that seem to go in there with guns is jarring, and you would think they'd have metal detectors, and they do not.
Mm.
Yeah, someone was, like, wiling out, and security, I think I had to escort him, or... No, what was it? They were wilding out, and then, like, they went to get the guy's bag, and then they saw it had a gun in it. And, sometimes I worry for my husband. But, no, every hospital should have a no-gun law, for the record. Anyway.
There's Marissa trying to take my guns away while I'm in the hospital.
Exactly.
If anything, because of all the fucking oxygen in there, like...
Yeah, there's so many reasons why you should have a gun in the hospital, but that's neither here nor there. That's interesting.
I don't feel like I had a real conclusion or anything, but these were some things I observed because I didn't have a better topic this week, guys.
No, I liked it. It is interesting, and I didn't think there was... I just assumed they look at your license, but you're right. You could update it, and then your license isn't updated, so I'm glad there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I think, like, again, not trying to pick on anybody, but I could see somebody being like, oh, no, they're just going to, like, chop out my kidney, chop out my liver, whatever it's going to be, and just hand it around to other people in the ER who need it. And again, it doesn't work that way. It's a much more dramatic process.
Yeah. Okay. You know, that was interesting. Thank you.
Hey.
I'll tell my mother.
You're welcome. Don't you dare. Say listen to this episode, Ma.
It's time for blurbs. It's time for blurbs. It's time for blurbs. It's time for blurbs.
I guess you got any plugs?
I do, Marissa. Since I talked about organ donation, I would like to plug a movie called Return to Me. And this is a romantic comedy starring David Duchovny and Minnie Driver.
Okay.
David Duchovny's wife dies in a car accident, and Minnie Driver happens to get her heart. Later, David Duchovny just happens upon Minnie Driver, and they fall in love. And there are some funny lines, especially with her family and stuff, but I'm really plugging it because Minnie Driver's hot and charming. But if you're in the mood for something more dramatic, then I encourage you to rewatch John Q with Denzel Washington, where he holds up a ER so he can get a heart for his son.
That's a good movie. I like that movie. I'm just going to replug Eat, Shoots, and Leaves, the grammar book, just about why grammar matters and how confusing and chaotic things become if you don't care about grammar. It's funny. Guys, if you want to give us a call with any topics or thoughts, you can call us at 570-POD-WOD-1. You can email us at
YallHeardPod@gmail.com. You can also check out our website, YallHeard.me, with links to our store, our Patreon, where you can get some bonus content.
Stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye.